from Colorado. Where is she? Belinda Kaplan. Belinda Kaplan.
Well, hi there. You know, I look out at this group of beautiful ladies, and the only thing I want to say is, behold the glory of the Lord. You all are magnificent, and I'm so, so blessed and honored to be here. Thank you, Tanya, for this awesome privilege. And she has asked me to share on the heart of praise. And I'm still going, why? But I figured it out, what the heart of praise is. It's right here. This is the heart of praise. This is where we get our heart of praise. The heart of praise has to begin with abiding in the heart of the scriptures. Because without God's word, we can't know the heart of our loving, gracious Father. All we would know, and I know all of us have been there, all we would know is the depths of despair. And I know we've all been there. And I don't ever want to live there again, because I've been there. Psalm 19, 9 through 10, begins the fear or the reverence or the awe of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord, thank you, Casey, for reminding me that that was up there. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than fine gold. Yea, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Just think about that. Is that our heart? Is it more to be desired than fine gold or gems, or sweeter than honey? How Psalm 119, Casey, you don't have to go to all these if you don't want to. Psalm 119, 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walks not. This is not where we want to be. Blessed is the man that walks. Yes, we do want to be here. Never mind. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the way of the scornful. We don't want to do that. We want to walk in God's way. Amen. The contrast is, but, verse 2, but his delight, are we delighted tonight? Come on, are we delighted or what? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. Oh, that's a bad word. Meditate, that's a bad word. And doth meditate day and night, a.k.a. all the time, day and night. I mean, granted, we got to sleep, we got to do things, but it's just, it's always in our heart. It's always here. It's always coming out of our face. We meditate in it all the time. We think about it. It's our life's blood. It's our vital nourishment. Job says, and so Job 23:11-12, I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. How hungry are we? How hungry are we? Are we starving? Well, let's hope not, but if we're that hungry, we know where to go to get fed. How hungry are we? How sweet is that word in our mouth? How sweet is that word in our heart? How close does it bring us to our Father? How much do you hunger to know your Father? Come on is right. How much do you hunger to know your Father? And we're not going to know him without knowing this. Don't fall. Without knowing this, without having our hearts deep in his heart, this is how we know his heart. Without this, we don't know his heart. We think he's an angry God that wants to throw lightning bolts down at us, that wants to punish us every time we say a bad word or something. My redneck is coming out, apparently. It happens. Jeremiah 15:16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. He devoured them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. And for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Are we called by his name?
Yes.
Are we called to walk in everything that he has given us? I can't hear anything, ladies. Come on. Come on now. A redneck. I love it. Do I have a note there? Oh, yes, that's an important note. I need to keep that right there. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. Observe to do what? To do all. Where are we? All that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Is that something we want?
Yes.
I think so. But that word meditate is in there. And I'm going to give some credit to dear Jan Majira in her book, The Ephesians, Our Spiritual Treasure. She talks about this verse in meditate. And it's the word, and it's a fun word. I'm going to make you all say it. It's haga. Spelled H-A, but you said it just right, Jan. It's haga. Ga. Ga. Okay? I'm serious. I'm not kidding. And here it is. You pronounce it with the syllable drawn out, like kind of like breathing. And it can mean to meditate, to moan, to growl, to utter, to muse, to mutter, to devise, to plot, to speak, to roar. That kind of sounds that way. We're getting there. But it also means to ponder. It's an onomatopoeia. Isn't that a fun word? In other words, it sounds like what it is, like cuckoo or sizzle. And it's used of a lion. Here it is. Let me put my glasses on because I can't read it, but as good as I can read that. It's a pondering. It's a musing. It's a reading of something syllable by syllable, brooding over and vocalizing the understanding of what is read and studied. And it is pronounced, gah! And it's used of a lion when it has pounced on its prey. And it's hovering over the prey, thusly, looking, devouring, and daring anything to come and steal its prey. Are we like that? Do we hold that word in our heart, in our minds, in our thoughts, and dare anybody to try to take it from any circumstance, any person, anything? Do we hover? Do we mutter? Do we hold that word in our head so strongly and in our heart so strongly that we will not let anything take it away from us? Not our husbands, not our children. And I mean, it can happen, honey, if you're there. I'm sorry, but you know it's true. We hold that word so close and we repeat it over and over and over and over in our hearts till we know we absolutely believe it and no one can take it away from us. No one or nothing can ever take it away from us. Okay. And then the other question is, and I was looking at this lion thing. And I found this interesting little factoid. The female lions in the pride are the primary hunters for the pride. You know where I'm going, don't you, girl? I know, I see you. Through teamwork, ambushing, and night hunting, they also lead the pride, raise their cubs, and protect the pride's territory against threats such as hyenas, neighboring prides, and occasionally other males. Now let me ask you a question. How important are we as women? How important are we as women in ministry? No matter what we're doing, if we're taking someone to lunch, if we're taking a meal to someone, if we're just walking down the street and we smile to somebody, How important is it? What are we communicating? Are we going to just communicate? Are we just going to give them the grace of God through what we say? Maybe it's just a smile. Maybe it's just a touch. God works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And when we carry that, when we walk in that, and we are not letting anybody take that away from us, how important are we as women in everything that we do, in every aspect of the life that we lead, whether we're homemakers, whether retired, whether we're, I don't even know what the word retired means now. I'm retired, and I'm busier now than I ever was before, and I'm loving every second of it. It's like, this is the best years of my life. Yes, ma'am, refired. I am refired. Thank you very much for reminding me of that, Judy Magel. I love you very much. How important are we? Yeah, I think God sees us as really important. Otherwise, he wouldn't have invented us. You know, I heard something really cool the other day that, you know, about men and women, you know, that, you know, it's like it's supposed to be opposites and a helpmeet. And it's like, no, it's not that at all necessary. Now, whether this is true or not, you know, men have one point of view and women have another point of view. And it's not because that we are to be a helper, although we are, but it's to have another perspective. He has his perspective, we have our perspective, and we can put that and put God's perspective to it. Just a little ditty that I just heard the other day. I thought it was kind of cool. So Psalm 150. And now we're really getting into the praise thing. Praise, or Psalm 150, verse 1 through 6. Praise ye the Lord. You guys count these with me, would you? Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath, what? Praise the Lord. I lost count. There you go. Did I miss one? Okay. Pray, but you're getting the idea? Why? Praise. Praise isn't just like this nice namby-pamby little thing. Praise is a weapon. Praise is a weapon. Praise is a weapon. We go out there with our praise and our weapons, and we are knocking down strongholds. We are knocking down the schemes of the adversary. We are healing people. We are taking God's word, and we are using that as our sword of the Spirit and our full armor of God. We got it all. Praise is a weapon, and it's nothing to be messed with. And the enemy has to bow. The enemy has to bow. Say it. The enemy has to bow. Okay. 2 Samuel 6. We'll calm down a little bit for a second. Maybe. Oh, this is a fun one. This is a fun one. 2 Samuel 6. David is taking the ark into the tent, into the tabernacle. And it says in 2 Samuel, and David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. Doesn't say he was girded only in an ephod. And no, even though it looked fine in the movies, he was not wearing his skivvies. Do you know that? He was not wearing his skivvies. And it says, believe it or not, the ephod is the priestly garment. It's like a shoulder cape or a mantle. And it's an outer garment. And it's worn by a priest and made with a white material, worn by the high priest. It was more costly. It was woven of gold and blue and purple and scarlet and linen threads, and it had a shoulder piece and it had a breastplate with all these beautiful stones on it. And in 1 Chronicles, it says that David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, and all the Levites that bear the ark and the singers and the whatever that is, the master of the song with the singers. I don't know what that word is. Shania, maybe it's, I don't know what it is. We'll just let it go. The Shenaniah, it's okay. But David danced, had upon him an ephod of linen. David went into the tabernacle, dancing before the Lord with all his might in his priestly robes. He went in as king and priest, bearing before him the ark of the Lord to lay it in what would have been the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies, but it wasn't there yet. David was dancing before the ark in 2 Samuel and in Chronicles. He was wearing his priestly garments as prescribed for the high priest. It was more costly and woven of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet and linen threads, provided with shoulder pieces and breastpiece of like material ornamented with gems and gold. David danced, I wanted to read this because I thought it was really cool. David danced before the Lord with all his might, his whole self. He held nothing back. He put it all out there. He was so rejoicing and praising God for having been delivered from the armies and all the armies and delivered from death. He danced before the Lord with all his might. All his might. He let nothing on the table. He spent himself. Does that give an example of what we could do? Doesn't mean we have to burn ourselves out, but we put our whole heart, our whole soul, our whole mind, our whole strength into this is Father, our Father. That perfect, pure, wonderful praise. Hebrews, oh, now I want to read this in the Psalms. This is a Syriac version of Psalm 107:22. It says, offer him the sacrifices of praise. Praise ye his works and his wonders. And Jeremiah 33:11 says, bring the sacrifice of praise unto the house of the Lord. The Gospel of Mark 12:30 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy mind and with all thy strength and with all thy, I did that backwards, sorry. With all thy mind, all thy strength, and that's the first commandment. There are three different figures of speech in there. Do you think it's important? There's three different figures of speech in that one verse that God is highlighting, that we should love God with our whole soul, heart, mind, and strength, all with everything we are, our thoughts, our heart, our actions, everything we are to love God with our whole soul, mind, heart, and strength. I think it's important to God that we honor him. I think it's important to God that we give our whole selves to him. And you know, sometimes doing that dance thing, that praise, sometimes it is a sacrifice. Sometimes, I mean, especially sometimes at my age when I get up here and do this thing, it might hurt. But there's healing in praise. There's strength in praise. There's power in praise. It's a weapon. It's a weapon that God gave us to wield against the evil one. Ephesians, and you're not going to have this, Casey. This is kind of wrapping it up here in Ephesians chapter 1. This is, I'm going to read this to you from Jan Majira's Aramaic Peshitta New Testament. And it's really powerful. If you want to follow along in King James or whatever you've got, that's cool. But even as he chose us beforehand in him, from before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy ones and without blemish before him, and in love, get this, and in love, he marked us out beforehand for himself. That the glory of the grace, that the glory of his grace would be glorified, which he has poured on us by way of his beloved Son, that we, those who first trusted in Christ, should be, and I love this, for the esteem of his magnificence, which is the guarantee of our inheritance to the redemption of those who have life, to the glory of his honor. And this is a quote from Jan's book. What is emphasized in these verses is the word grace. It could be translated glory of his grace, but saying it with this figure of speech makes it mean the glory of his grace. The glory of his grace. That is what is being commended or praised, is God's grace. His divine favor is totally worthy of the highest amount of praise. The heart of this, that, what we do, is the reason for our praise. He chose you and 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 all of you from before the worlds were formed. He knew you. He knew you. He knew all of the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything that would ever be. And guess what? He chose you anyway to be to the esteem of his magnificence. Stand up and say, glory, hallelujah. We are to the esteem of every time we walk out there representing Father, our Father, Abba, Father. And we walk in that graciousness. We walk in that heart of praise. We walk in the beauty of what he has made us to be. We walk in our calling. We are showing the world the esteem of his magnificence. Not mine, not me, it's not me, it's what he has called us to be. He has called us to be the esteem of his magnificence. And that's the reason for our praise. The heart of praise and the reason for praise is the God's goodness and grace, and that is pure and simple it. Now, we're wrapping up here. We're getting there. I got one more thing. I want y'all to stand up. Stand up. Our loving and gracious Father gave all. He gave his only begotten Son that we could be escorted by his Son, who laid his blood on the Holy of Holies as a sacrifice for us, that we could be escorted by Jesus Christ into the Holy of Holies and be in the face of our Father, that we could be in his presence, that we can live in his presence. We were personally escorted by Jesus Christ our Lord to be in the presence of God, holy and without blame. What are we not going to praise him for? Our loving response should naturally be to sing, pray, to dance, whatever you can do. And even if you can only do this, guess what? That's good enough. It's the heart of praise that matters. It's the heart of praise that we, Father, our Father, we are so thankful for everything that you've done for us. Let the enemy hear our roar. Haga! Haga! We are not going to let the enemy steal the word for us. And now, one final thing, Psalm 103, one who knows it, and we're going to yell it out loud. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. One more time, and let's really say it like we mean it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.